Good morning, friends and brethren. So very good to see you here today. Good to see that we have some visitors. We're very glad to have you with us. If you will, please take your Bibles. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Last week, as part of our daily Bible reading, we spent some time going through the book of Ezekiel. And there's just been another lesson from that reading that's kind of been on my mind this week. So I'd like to spend some time here talking about the Valley of Dry Bones. Isn't that peculiar enough, just sounding just as a title or a theme that's found here in this text? In Ezekiel 37, we begin at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. Just try to think about that for a moment. I mean, we try to imagine in our mind's eye what Ezekiel, what his eyes saw. We might have a hard time picturing that because we've not been experienced to the same scene. We've not seen that. And maybe there was a reason why God chose such a peculiar sight. Maybe this is it, because you have to stop and think about what God's talking about. What is his point? What is the emphasis that he's trying to inflect here? And certainly it would capture the attention of Ezekiel as God was demonstrating to him this vision and bringing to his awareness and to that of Israel, who would be the recipient of what Ezekiel would have to say. They would understand something about the significance of God's message. We have to keep in mind that it was more than just past time for a religious awakening among Israel. Israel had suffered a decline. I mean, here they were now, they were in captivity. And they were carried off into captivity because of their own choices, because of their own sins, where they had moved so far away from God, even to the point where God said, this can't be fixed. And so the Babylonians now have taking them over, and they've been displaced. And so in this decline that Israel has suffered, and it seems as though they had declined in everything, there was a great decline in faith. That is, they refused to look to God. They had lost their land. They had seen the fall of their capital, their beloved Jerusalem, where once there were great kings that had reigned there. The holy temple of God, it was no more. It had been plundered. It had been burned. There was a slaughter of the people. There was the banishment of their nobles. The life of their nation, it seemed, was extinct. It was forgotten. There was nothing to go back to as what it was when they left. And so this is what is in the mind of the children of Israel. And it seems that there is no language that could adequately describe how dead and how hopeless the people's dreams and ambitions had become, because nothing was like they had planned it. This isn't the way the story was supposed to end. Their people were supposed to live happily ever after in the promised land, and everything was supposed to be good. And it would have been if they had listened to God and obeyed all that he had said. But now they've come to a point where surely they were thinking, what is there to look forward to? What hope do we have? Go back to the text again. God's word came to Ezekiel, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones, and I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel experienced the power of the hand of God. And he was led by the Spirit of God to view an unlikely scene. But still, the question has to be, what did it mean? I mean, what does this suggest? The valley of dry bones signifies, it seems to me, the current state of Israel, that of itself it was a doom and gloom proposition. There wasn't much left of Israel. There was nothing at all like in the days of glory. But that was not all there was to the vision. There was a resurrection that was foretold that would come by the will of God. And Jehovah asked this question. He said, "Can these bones come alive?" You think about that for just a moment. And if we were in a situation looking at a valley of dead bones and someone were to ask us, "Can these bones come alive?" I think I know how we would answer. Life is long past. These bones are bodies that are no more. There's no life left in them. It's even exemplified by the fact that the bones have been there a long time. They are dry bones. But Ezekiel's response was right on when he said, "Only you would know." Because remember, it was the Lord who was asking the questions and making these statements. And so it was to the Lord he said, "Only you would know." Because indeed, God did know. And it was God who had the power to cause such an effect. What did Ezekiel think when God said, "Prophesy to these bones"? I mean, what good would that do? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I will tell you, I've preached at some places where I thought there was only dry bones, but that may have been my delivery. That was the problem. I don't know. But can you imagine being told to prophesy to these dry bones? You would think, for what purpose? What good is that going to do? There's nothing. There's no effect that can happen here. I mean, long ago, life had left those bones, and those bleached out bones had no remnant of life. It was just bones. Life little signifies death more than the sight of old bones. But still, God wanted the prophet to deliver his word. And God had a purpose. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord, is what it said in verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord. There is consistency throughout God's revelation to man that to know God's will, we have to listen to his words. And as simplistic as that sounds, many still struggle today with the idea of just grasping the importance of the power delivered by the word of God. But that to know the will and the way of God, we have to listen to his words. Hear the word of the Lord is what was said. And that's nothing new in our generation. It was the same problem with Israel long ago. Failure to listen to God's words and obey them is what led them to the problem of where they were in captivity and the nation being disassembled, so to speak. And for their capital, the glorious temple that had been in Jerusalem, all of that being gone, all of that being destroyed. Failure to listen to God's words is what led them to the state they were in. But Jehovah God was promising life here. And it's just amazing. He's promising life to the dead. "I will put breath in you, and you will come to life," is what God said. To those dead bones. How could that happen? But only by the power of God. The vision is that of a resurrection from death to life. In the most stark example here. Not death in the sense that one is on the verge of dying. But again, the dry bones signifies bones that have been lying there for a long time. They're bleached out, old bones. It's something that only God could promise and fulfill. There's a lot of promises that can be made by man, but they can't all be fulfilled. And something to this extent, only God could promise this and fulfill it. And should that happen, and it did, then God said, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." many miraculous events by God had been performed to confirm his power. Ezekiel did just as God commanded. Verse 7, we continue. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. It's just hard to picture that, isn't it? I mean, you try to imagine the sight and the sound of these dry bones clanking together. Do dry bones clank? I'm not sure what kind of sound dry bones would make, but as they're coming together and being joined together, and the tendons appearing, and the skin coming to them, but even at that, when it became that which looked like a body, still Ezekiel knew that there's still not life because it's missing breath. But God had the power as well to instill breath into the bodies. And when there was no breath in them, there was not any life yet. But life came when breath entered by the power of God, and it can't help but make us think all the way back to the beginning, the creation story, where it was God who made all things and all living things came together, and it was God who put breath in them and gave life. It was God who has the power to do that. It was the Apostle Paul preaching to the Athenians who was talking about the one true God who reminded those philosophers who were sitting there of the God who has given you life, breath in all things. The God who has the power to affect life. And it's only God who has the power to bring life. And in this case, it was a resurrection to life. Now, Israel had expressed their hopelessness. Because remember, as we've said, at this time, Israel seemingly was no more. I mean, the nation is not what it was. They have lost their land. And their places, their cities have been destroyed. Even their place of worship is no more. And so Israel is distraught. They don't even feel like a nation anymore. In verse 11, and he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Okay, so if there's been any question up to this point of the Lord is speaking, he explains it. And he defines what these dead bones represent. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I have spoken, and that I have done it, declares the Lord. Our bones are dried up. And our hope is gone. We are cut off, is what they would say. Beaten down and seeing little hope. And if they are depending on themselves, if that's all they had, then it's less than having little hope. They would have no hope. But God gives them a reason to lift up their head. It's God who gives them a reason to look up and to have reason to live, because God will bring them back from the grave. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. Israel expressed hopelessness, but God has the power to revive. what is the resurrection that this passage is talking about? I mean, contextually, which is the way we have to view this, contextually, it regards the bringing of new hope and new life to the discouraged and the defeated Israel. The message was one to provide hope for a people who were displaced from their home and from their land, which was given to them by Jehovah God, a promise to their father of generations ago. And so it was an encouragement for them to look up and look to the future, to have hope of finding life once again, just as if they had been brought back from the dead. And there was a resurrection that followed. That is, there was a bringing back to life God's chosen nation of Israel, but at best it would be partial and it would be incomplete because of their own sins. There would be some who would return to the Lord. There would be some who would be serious about listening to what God said and obeying, but not all. In time, the wall around Jerusalem would be restored. It was prior to that even. It was those who went back to the city and rebuilt the temple. But it did not have the same glory that it had in the earlier days of the nation. And the presence of the Lord did not fill the temple now. And the wall, as we said, was restored and rebuilt in time, but the city never regained its independence, but it always remained under the control of heathen powers. And even with great signs delivered by God and the powerful testimony of his prophets that would come, the people did not wholeheartedly return and serve Jehovah God. And that has always been the requirement. God was promising to the people through Ezekiel, here again, another opportunity, another chance, we might say. They could return to him. He would restore them if they would listen to him. If they would respond in such a way and know and acknowledge that he is Jehovah God. As he has said here two or three times, you know, in the text, he keeps saying, and then they will know that I am the Lord. But even with the incredible signs and wonders that were performed through Ezekiel and other prophets, still there wasn't a wholehearted return to the Lord. The resurrection of physical Israel would not be accomplished as Israel had wanted. There would not be a powerful king sitting on the throne and ruling as David once did, and the nation of Israel would not have its place of prominence among the nations of the world, but that did not, and not in any way did it minimize God's plan for a great kingdom. True and complete restoration of Israel would only be possible through the establishment of another kingdom, not one reigned over from a city on earth, but from heavenly Jerusalem, a kingdom delivered by the power from on high, and ruled by the Messiah, by the Christ. God would again send messengers and prophets foretelling the coming of the Lamb of God. God would continue sending his message to Israel, would continue calling them, and would continue to promise them a resurrection, if you will, if they would listen to him, submit to him, and obey him. But it was never to be a great nation that would be centered in Jerusalem. Oh, except that heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion. A city on a hill, as Scripture would say. It was John the Baptist who came to announce the coming of the kingdom, that it was close at hand. The coming of the Lord and the hope that would be found in him. And that hope, in that hope, there would be life that would be found. A resurrection from the dead, so to speak. But even then, the leaders of Israel rejected that message of salvation as well. And the hope of a resurrection from their sins, the offer of a new life that could be found in the Savior, they would reject that. There was a literal purpose in the story or the message of the Valley of Dry Bones. It was a message to Israel that Jehovah God could bring life from that which seemingly was hopelessly dead. That's the figure. That's the purpose that we can see when we try to imagine that valley of dry bones. There is no one who could bring these bones back to life, all except Jehovah God. He has the power to bring back from the dead. And when we think in the spiritual realm, when we think of Israel who had walked so far away from God, and we would think there is no hope, there is no resurrection of these who have become so dead because they've moved so far from God, God says there is hope. He says just like this valley of dry bones can be brought back to life and breath can be instilled back into them, so are those who have wandered so far from him. Even Israel, his chosen people who have moved so far away, he continued to call them and call them and call them. And there would be some. There would be some who would listen to the prophets of God, who would listen to his word, and who would know that he is Lord in heaven. He is the Lord and God of all. There would be some who would know him. And it's a message that reaches all the way to us. It's a message from God who added life and breath in the very beginning. And it was he who could add breath to the life of a nation who had become so dead in their sins. It is the same God who can revive us. It's the same God who can revive us who have walked so far away from him. When we realize that we are not the people that we are supposed to be, when we realize that we are not following the doctrine or the will of the God who has made us and given us life and breath, there is still hope. We can be brought from the dead, so to speak, and be made alive. And it is God who has the power and the ability to give us breath and to bring us to life. But it's sins that make us dead in the eyes of God. But we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay in sins because he will revive us. He will make us alive once more. The source of our hope has never changed. God has delivered his word. God has delivered his truth in such a way that we can know his will. And it is his word that is all power. It is his word that has the ability and the power to save us to all who believe. Would you look with me to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul pins for us these words that help us to understand what he has experienced, what he has learned in life, even now as he's led by the Holy Spirit. That the source of our hope has never changed, but that God has delivered for us and to us truth by which we can find life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, he is saying to those who have become saints in Jesus Christ, he says to them, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as also among you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. We can draw close to God when we take his word, when we submit ourselves to it. We can find life. We can be revived from the dead. It's in the same chapter, in verse 13, he says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's life new that comes to us. It's found through his word, delivered to us even through his Son. And we're reminded that we do not have to be dead any longer. Because when we are in sin, we are just like that valley of dry bones. We have no hope. We are without any reason to look up, and we are in that valley of dry bones, except it being the will of God that gives us hope. When we look up, when we look to God, we find reason for life. And it is He who can breathe into us life, even when we were once dead. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Again, to those who have become Christians. And you He has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We do not have to be dead any longer, but we can live. There can be breath that is breathed into the dead body. We can be made alive. It's interesting to note that Jesus used some similar words as what we read in Ezekiel, in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, He spoke about the dead coming forth, another resurrection. In John chapter 5, beginning at verse 26. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has given to the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. We have every reason for hope. We have every reason to look up and to seek the life that comes from God. And we do so even with some urgency, knowing that there will come a day that the Lord will call, and that all will be raised, and that all will stand before Him. Because of that hope that is promised, the coming of the Lord in the last day is not something that we have to fear, but there will be a day where the graves full of those dry bones will be emptied, and we will hear His voice, and will be raised up to the resurrection of life, or to the resurrection of condemnation. All determined by whether we are willing to hear and to listen the Word of God. Because you see, even back in our text where we began in Ezekiel, part of the emphasis was on the children of Israel listening to and hearing the Word of God. And if they will hear My voice, if they will hear My words, as the Lord said, and if they will obey, they will know that I am the Lord. Indeed, there will come a day where everyone will be believers. On the day we stand before the Lord, there will be no unbelievers. All will believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But it'll be too late for us to change our life in any way. Judgment will be right before us. And judgment will be based on whether we have listened and obeyed the will and the words of God. God has offered us every reason for hope. Just like He gave Israel every reason for hope. Even when they were nothing more than dry bones in the eyes of God, He gave them reason for hope. And God is offering us, just as He offered them life, He is offering us eternal life, a resurrection from the grave, if you will. A resurrection that will lead to life if we will be the ones that listen to Him, if we will be the ones that obey Him. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the apostle writes to those Christians. It says, "But God be thanked that though you were servants of sin, Yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I want that to be the description of us. That we were the ones who were once servants of sin. We were even as dry bones. But we came to life because God breathed into us life. Life now that is found in His Son. That gives us everlasting hope. Jesus said it so simply, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And knowing that even today there could be those who are thinking, some who maybe are struggling with their life spiritually, some struggling to make the decision of obedience to Jesus Christ. Why would you wait and why would you delay? Because to be outside of Christ is to continue to be dry bones. And we look at eternal separation from God. Don't you want to change that? Together we can stand with the Lord in judgment without fear, but we can stand before Him knowing that our home is in heaven for eternity if we will choose to be the people of God. He has given us the way. He has given us the plan. He has given us the reason for hope in His Son. Would you respond to Him? Would you come as we stand and sing?